Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and I'm here today with my guest, Simon Gray. How are you, Simon?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's been a bit of a long day in a way, but it's gone quite quickly. But there we go. Those days tend to go past. Can you share a bit about yourself and what you do for everybody?
So I work as a specialist personal trainer and nutrition coach, but my background originally is from web development and digital marketing. So yeah, that's the high level version anyway.
Yeah, we've been working together for about a year, probably slightly over a year now, actually. When I think about it, I think it was
Best year of
just,
your life, mate. That's what it
yeah,
is.
yeah, definitely. We've done a lot in that time, done really well. I think I've
It's been good.
just, yeah, I think for everybody else's context, I think prior to when, even before things went, so I'm about 20 kilos down from where I was back when I started weighing, at least as far as what my scale says. So it's got a fancy scale. It's got a list of all the weights and measurements on it, and if I go back to the original one, I think it's, yeah, it's just over 20 or so now, and I think we're about 15-ish, I think, or maybe about 12 since you and I've been working together. So we've been doing well. So yeah, it's just been, as you said, yeah, best year of your life, probably, definitely one in terms of the weight loss stuff,
I mean,
but.
I'm obviously being a bit slightly sarcastic there, but no, I mean, you've done amazing over the last, what is it, 14 months or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a big sort of, people say, well, you're having a monkey on your back for a while. And I think for me, it was just having sort of the weight thing was constantly sort of there, and something that was very sort of anxiety driving, inducing, and as much as everything else just needed to sort of get that sorted at one point. And as well as other things, been doing a lot more sort of running, back doing jiu-jitsu, doing a lot of other stuff now. And yeah, all together being helpful. And it's at DrupalCon in Lille in October, I think it was October, September, October. And yeah, again, coming some people I'd not seen for a few years. And so people had to do a bit of a double take, which was quite interesting, and having lots of nice little comments, which was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I guess our paths to this have been fairly similar. So I started working in IT in 97, 98. So I started off as a business analyst. I was working at Sainsbury's head office then. I then did the whole Wild West.com thing during the whole bubble and burst, and then worked agency side. I guess my skill set is a bit of a mixture on the IT side because I've always been that business analyst, process design, project management kind of side, and then I have done some coding. I do some hands-on digital marketing and SEO, occasionally some design and so on. But I guess I was never like pigeonholed as just a developer or something like that. But I was self-employed in most of that from about 2003, and my personality is quite all or nothing. And when I was working for myself, I just went for it. But I just turned into a complete workaholic. I was doing, I don't know, 90, 100 hours a week, just sat at my desk, like eating crap, not focusing on my fitness at all. And then my mental health took a real kick in and I started having real anxiety issues, which I haven't had before. And then I tried to eat my way out of the anxiety issues because I've always had a bit of a comfort inside to me. And then just gained loads and loads of weight. It was interesting actually, because when I had the anxiety issues, all the doctors wanted to do was just chuck a pill at me. There was no why is this happening or what is it you're doing or anything like that. So
Treating the
I
symptoms
then,
are the cause.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I see that a lot with clients that come to me as well. I mean, I don't like to slag off the NHS because there's a lot of hardworking, time-starved people in it and so on. But unfortunately, it is something I see quite a lot of, even more so since COVID. And then when I was younger, up to about my early 20s, I used to bike quite a lot. So about 8, 9 years ago or so. So it was about 12 years ago, I hit my peak weight and anxiety issues. But then I went back and started cycling again. And originally I was just going to bike around the local woods a couple of times a week. But and actually I always found feel really stupid saying this now because it's really obvious, isn't it? But like just getting outside more and moving a bit more the impact it had on my mental health was almost immediate. The weight loss itself, the first, so I've lost at least 4 stone, maybe around 5. I don't know the top figure because I never weighed myself. The first half of the weight just kind of took care of itself because I finally just started moving a bit more rather than sitting at my desk all the time. And then I started taking on loads of mad cycling challenges, started working with a coach myself. Then I started kind of unofficially coaching some people. And then started getting qualifications. So I've done advanced nutrition, personal trainer, behavioral change, and that sort of thing. And then it slowly turned into more and more of a business. So that's how I kind of got into it. But it was almost by accident, really. Like at school, like at PT, PE, like I got 2 left feet for football. Like I'm not naturally sporty. And I started learning Olympic weightlifting about 2 years ago, and it took me a while to pick it up because for coordination wise, I don't naturally just pick up stuff instantly. But I just love it. Do you know what I mean? And just getting moving. And like I said, I just started helping people more as I went, and then it became more of a business. And now I would say 80%, no, probably about 90% of my clients are kind of people that want to lose weight or get in shape. Some of those are quite weight loss focused. Otherwise they just want to get fitter and the weight loss is like a byproduct of it. And then of the 10% that's left, about half of those are what I'd call athlete clients, but not like full-time athletes, but people that are doing it like a charity challenge, or they race triathlon, or they do endurance like ultra running or something like that. And then the other 5% are actually weight gain clients, but not all muscle gain clients. So I wouldn't say that's not because they've got eating disorders as such. It's just that they're someone that's always been naturally small, or they just want to gain muscle, or they want to get a bit stronger or something like that. So that's kind of the kind of split of clients, really. But like I say, it's funny how, yeah, just getting fitter and eating better kind of sorted out my mental health issues. Go figure, right?
Yeah, I remember you mentioned, about the NHS thing, but I remember going to see them for something before, and they, you know, had to sort of check your height and your weight and whatever it was. And I'm not sure which point that was, but it was some comment of, oh, you could probably lose 0.5 stone or something like that. It wasn't really anything in depth or anything like that. And, you know, I think even when I was doing, like, I'd done taekwondo when I was younger, probably from when I was sort of mid-teens to early 20s. And yeah, I was sort of okay then, sort of weight-wise, but then started working and then kids and everything else as well, and then my health and fitness then sort of becomes a lower priority than compared to everything else, because we've got a million things to do with, especially with the kids small, you've got to look after the kids, and now they get older, you've got to take them everywhere and do things for them, and maybe there's some financial things then as well, you've got to pay for a gym membership or pay for classes or something, or the right type of fit. I mean, it's harder then because you've got all these other priorities and things to do. And I was looking at some of the older sort of photos and things and when the kids were little the other day, and it's quite surprising then to look back at some of them and sort of look at way more sort of now compared to that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in the IT. I think that in general across my clients, I mean, irrelevant of where they work or maybe some don't work or whatever, that sort of stay at home, but look after kids and stuff. But it's, there is that similar pattern. Like you kind of like, I wouldn't say you lose yourself, but you kind of like, life just becomes you finish college, maybe uni or whatever. And then, as your responsibilities increase and work takes over, is a similar pattern. And I think that people that gain weight, they tend to fall in one of two camps really. Something just kind of creeps up on them. So that, they're maybe just moving a bit less. They go on holiday a couple of times a year, Christmas comes around, and they just put a bit on each time, and then suddenly 8-10 years later they suddenly discover they're putting a lot of weight. Other people, it's high pressure, especially in high pressure jobs, stress kicks in and the comfort eating kicks in, so maybe they actually put on the weight quite rapidly over like a shorter period of time because they're leaning into food to kind of deal with trying to cope with a high pressure job. Or something else that's going on in their life that's high pressured. And I think that there's a couple of things going on there. You're leaning into food for comfort, but also as well, if you're super stressed and tired all the time, your body produces a hormone called ghrelin, which makes you hungrier. It's like a like from evolutionary hangover to a certain extent, and it knocks you over the head because it's like, I'm under stress, that means I need fuel. And then because you need fuel, it'll go for fast fuel, and that's where sugar and fat comes in. And obviously food these days is plentiful, and there's a lot of very, you know, ultra processed stuff that tastes amazing and packed with energy, and you know, that's what people lean into. So yeah, so you're not, you know, it's not an uncommon thing that I see.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also that typical sort of stereotype almost with software developers and people as well. Sat down, well, first of all, everyone typically sat down at a desk for at least probably 8 hours a day, and then, you know, a lot of software and web people will then go home or sit down and carry on coding on their own things in the evening as well, or start watching videos, or you know, maybe some freelance work. So I do my day job, then do my consulting work, and yeah, that. But then also you've got the typical sort of things around that of, you know, you said like unhealthy sort of foods and snacks, and a lot of these places are like, yeah, free fizzy drinks and everything. And yeah, that's actually, thinking about that, it was quite a big setback, because I remember I cut a lot of them out for a while, and then went back in into an office for at least for a few days a week. And yeah, here's a fridge full of drinks and fizzy things, and here's all these biscuits and things you can eat. And yeah, it's just, then there's sort of almost a bit of peer pressure and expectation around that, but just that whole sort of developer thing, yeah, and a lot of meetups, yeah, like, you know, pizzas and beer and everything. And it's like, is there just that stereotypical thing around developers or the software in general, or software industry in general?
Yeah, back in the .com days especially, I mean, the whole thing was fueled on everyone working super long hours. And it was like Domino's. I mean, you know, they might as well open a Domino's and a pizza in the office in Melbourne, used to get delivered. The fridge was packed full of, you know, full fat, sugary soda drinks and stuff. And I think the more you drink of that, the more you're like, you know, you get energy spikes, and then you feel tireder. And then when the spike drops off, and so there's definitely, I mean, I haven't worked in an office setting for a long time in IT. Although I've seen, like, I had one client last year that works in a corporate setting that's for a pharmaceutical, and they have piles and piles of free pastries and pan au chocolats and like all sorts of cakes and stuff on like a table that runs down the middle of the office. And it's just loaded. And the thing is, like, people might go, oh, but I'm weak, I can't resist it. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you've got all this amazing tasty food like within walking distance, constantly looking at you. It's not a case of being weak. It's just that it's like, it's there. Like, you know, you're human, don't beat yourself up. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's an amazing cake staring at you every single day at work. I mean, you're going to give in eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that. It's also the same thing about like shopping while you're hungry. I've done that. I've gone and bought chocolate or some sweets or something, and go, oh, if I buy that, I'm not gonna eat one of them and keep the other three in the fridge for the rest of the week. Or buying a big pack of Coca-Cola or something. It's like, you just buy it. It's like, oh yeah, I'll drink one a day, and then suddenly they've all gone like within a day or two. So I think it's just, yeah, having them being there, whether it's there. And I've always regretted those afterwards, then, if I can sort of not buy them, then obviously they're not there. So
yeah, that's one thing. I don't have certain things in the house. Like crisps are my absolute nightmare. Like if there's a big bag of crisps in there, it's just going to get hoovered up. So it's better not to have it in the house to begin with. But it's an interesting one. Like I say, I haven't been in an IT setting in a big office for a long time. I don't know how it is culturally with food. I mean, I think there's a definite shift. I mean, I see with some clients in a corporate setting in general, this isn't just necessarily IT, but there's a lot more focus on sort of wellness and well-being and stuff. There's a client I worked with, I know they actually pay for I think it's like a PT or someone to come in like once a week and do like optional group classes for people to do, and sort of like places where you can go just to get a bit of space and that sort of thing. So I think there is a shift, but like I said, I don't know, I can't really speak specifically on IT on that, but I think there's a definite shift, certainly in the corporate world at some level.
Yeah, I've seen some of the things like free gym membership, and I've seen perks of like, you know, oh, there's a gym in the office building. Sometimes I've seen things like that, but then also I've seen the opposite with there's a free bar at 4 o'clock every day, and then sort of intended to presumably make, you know, allow people to socialize, and you know, it was the building where they had lots of other companies and things as well. So to try and help that to cross company socialization as well. But it's like, yeah, there's aside from me being non-gluten as well, so I can't drink or eat anything with gluten. And so I'm there going, yeah, well, it's not an ideal situation. So I've had a bit of a switch in my brain as well. So like, yeah, even if I'm at a meetup, it's like it's always pizza and beer, and then I'm just like, I can't eat or drink those anyway. So a bit of a switch has gone off in my head at least for some of these things. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it's really hard then. But I think I've seen a few people. See Adam Wallen, who's a Laravel guy, who's the guy who started Tailwind CSS, has gone through quite a big weight transformation himself the last couple of years and been quite vocal about it. And there's others. He's the one who springs to mind right now. But yeah, I do wonder if there's a bit of an underlying sort of shift, maybe. I've seen a lot more in the mental health space. So I know I've done mental health first aid and things as well from work, and a lot of things around sort of jigsaw insights with different, some more mental focus or different, it's not about personality types as such, but it's, yeah, I just see more focus on that side of things. Maybe not so much on the physical side, but maybe things were changing.
The mental health bit is an interesting one, I think, because when I had my issues like 12, 14 years ago, whenever it was, like it definitely wasn't a spoken about thing so much. Like I definitely had an element of isolation, whereas I think if I had it now, it would be a very different conversation around people. I think there's a definite shift there. I think it's interesting you were saying about like I mean, you know, because you've worked with me for a while now, like there isn't stuff. You shouldn't limit yourself to what you have as well either, though. You know, like if you go to a meetup or something and you have a beer and you have a couple of slices of pizza or whatever it is, you should be able to live your life that you can enjoy that. I think the issue that I had more was like I said, when I was working in the dot-com thing, it was a fridge stacked full of stuff. You know, the Domino's delivery multiple times per week. So I think there is a line. Like I think if you avoid stuff, or you know, life is for the living still, but it's just, you know, some things in moderation versus others, I guess, really, rather than limit yourself.
Yeah, definitely that's my kids, everything in moderation. And then, you know, for me, then maybe not always put that into practice, but what is being a bit more mindful of it, I think. The other thing that springs to mind is about team sort of gatherings or team outings or something. You know, everyone go out for lunch. Every so often, you know, that was quite a big thing, was in the office. And again, it's that sort of expectation around, well, like, you know, are we drinking this, or what are we gonna have for that? And some guy gets a really big sort of, giant burger or something, and yeah, again, it's like, oh, they're doing that. Once I actually remember someone was doing the Subway, we're doing a buy 1 foot long, get one free, and just to just then bring two back and then just eat them in front of the office, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, I actually saw, I can't remember this. It's one of the social things, actually. Someone had said it seemed quite appropriate for this discussion. So they'd gone out for some team lunch or something, and one person had ordered a salad and some chicken or something. And everyone's like, "Oh, you want a diet or whatever?" And it's like, well, no, that's what was a normal thing to eat before, and then now it's this norm of, yeah, we're going to go and have all the burgers and all the big things. So yeah, maybe there's some. Still, maybe some stigma attached to it.
Yeah, possibly. I think it's always a funny one. Like if you go out in a corporate setting or whatever as well, especially like if you do client face-to-face stuff as well, you don't want to, you still want to be able to fit in. There's a guy, I can't remember how you say his name. Is it Chris Van Tulleken or something? He's a guy that he's in the press a lot at the moment. He's written a book called Ultra Processed People, and he's got a twin brother who ate a lot of ultra processed food, and then he didn't so much. So there's like a, you know, is all studies into that. But he was saying about how whilst he's very anti ultra processed food, he doesn't stop his kids from having it because at school and stuff, he doesn't want them to be the outsider. He wants them to fit in. So it's kind of you know, it's an interesting balance. But again, I guess with the team lunch again, I guess it depends what you're juggling. Because if you are trying to be, I don't know, you know me, I don't like using the phrase good or bad, but if you're, because like, you know, because nothing's bad, there's just some things you should have less of. But ultimately, maybe that person has got, you know, they're at a wedding that weekend and it's going to be, you know, or they go on a holiday the following week and they're trying to damage the invitation. But then equally as well, though, if that's the only thing they do once per month, then have it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Enjoy it, you know. But it's it's an interesting kind of juggle with that.
Yeah, I've seen also some kind of who it was related to, but there's some it was, yeah, I can, they're doing some intermittent fasting or something, and it was like you have one meal a day and then proceeds to order this giant massive meal with like probably a burger and the side of this and the milkshake or something. It's like, yeah, it's still one meal. It's like, yeah, but it's like 3,000 calories in it or something.
Yeah.
So not really the point. But as you said, it's
Yeah.
everything in moderation and nothing's
It's
I like that.
it's
Not that
interesting with the fasting thing, actually, because I mean, you know this having worked with me, but I get my clients to focus mostly around protein intake and calories, and a little and some elements of fiber or food quality and that sort of thing. But I do let clients find their own path. But I don't say to clients, you must be low carb or you must be keto or you must be XYZ. But fasting is something that comes up occasionally with clients. But yeah, like you say, if you fast all day and then you eat loads of calories in the evening and junk, like the health benefits of the fasting, if there are, yeah, it's open to scientific debate, the health benefits of that. But yeah, you're kind of undoing the work. So I think the best diet that you can adopt is the one that you can stick to. And I think that's where people try to, they kind of trip up a little bit. I kind of see when people are starting, they either try something faddy or they try to be too perfect, whether that's on the exercise side or the nutrition side. And I think that starting small and simple is the way to go. So sometimes, for example, if I get clients that they really want to start, but they're feeling super overwhelmed, the thing to do for the first few weeks with diet and stuff is rather than just think, right, what can't I have, is to kind of think about what you can add. So maybe that is literally just walking around the block for 10 minutes a day, and it's just adding more veg to each of your meals every day, and that's it. You know, just start small. I think trying to chase perfection, I mean, you hear me use the phrase probably too much, but you know, perfect is the enemy of good. And I think that's really true with a lot of this is just like, start small. Or if you're a developer and you're sat at your desk all day long, you know, every time you do a call, stand up. If if you've got, I mean, I think you've got a standing desk, so stand up on your calls. If you haven't got a standing desk but people can't see you, get up and walk around the house or wherever it might be that you're doing. Like, you don't have to go all in. You don't have to join the gym and go, you know, twice a day, every day, seven times a week, or slam your calories right down and hardly eat anything. It's like, you know, just small steps is always the way to start.
You don't need to be like a treadmill desk or something. Just like little small things.
Yeah, it's just like, I've always found that the treadmill desk quite fascinating, because I don't think, how do you type whilst you're still walking? I don't know how that's a thing. Maybe it's like a skill you pick up over time. I don't know.
Yeah, sort of like tapping your head and rubbing your stomach or something. You sort of do two things simultaneously. It's like, yeah, because you sort of walk like this and type at the same time.
Yeah, it's
that'd be interesting. Yeah, if you can sort of do both. Yeah, I could run a 5K in half an hour and type 100 words a minute. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That'd be a party trick for everybody right there.
Just use, what was it, the old voice recognition, you know, voice note thing. You just do that and write all your stuff by speaking.
Yeah, just type things out that way. So, yeah, I think if I do, yeah, start small. What's the simplest thing you could do? I think that has a big crossover with the software side of things as well. It's what's the simplest thing we can do? Tackle one thing at a time and just look to make sort of small, iterative, incremental improvements rather than, you know, some of these fad type of things. And I've seen these ones that, again, like 72-hour fasting, another thing as well. There's all things online about that. I was watching, got the guy's name again, James Smith, is it? The guy's
oh, James Smith, yeah.
Doing some jiu-jitsu videos and things. But yeah, I saw him then I did this fasting thing for 3 days and sort of saw what came of it. But yeah, it's didn't seem to do anything, actually, if you believe what that video comes up with. But yeah, it's quite interesting. The other thing I started doing was extra 5K in lockdown. And that's speaking to people about that on the weekend. Then the local running club, but also started doing, it was just done a like I did it myself and just my old pair of trainers and things. And that was just one thing I quite liked about it. It was really easy just to find some old trainers and some shorts and go out. I remember that was what I did. It was really, really, really cold. I think I must have done it like the end time of the year as well, which was maybe not the best time. But yeah, so the running club, I've been doing it since probably New Year as a free sort of thing, and then they completed it and then gone and done the Saturday park run, local one. So that's really good, and also would recommend doing that if you can do it. Yeah, I think it's me as well. It's just getting over that mental thing again. It's not, it doesn't need to be just like, oh yeah, I've got to go to the gym and be, you know, do all these sort of weights and see all these people there who are like, you know, super sort of rip buff people doing all these bench presses and lifts and things. You know, it's like you can just go in and do sort of the bits that you want at your own pace as well. And I think that's one thing I've sort of enjoyed as part of this thing that we've been working together, just that sort of realism part of it. You know, it's not, you know, this over the top thing. And yeah, you can't just apply it to a day to day more real life scenario. You know, you don't have to go do a big sort of bodybuilding competition or something. You know, it's just taking things in your stride and you said, yeah, one bit at a time, and then just instead of one, you do like 10 steps a day or something over a year, that adds up to, yeah, to rather than doing none, then also you're not going to get anywhere. So
Yeah, I think it's that all in mentality. I think that's where a lot of people, you know, something I hear quite a lot from clients is that they've tried a diet and then they beat themselves up because they can't stick to it. And I hear the phrase, "I'm just weak," or that, those kind of phrases. And then when I look into it, they're eating like 1,000 calories a day, and they're not weak. They're just really hungry. That's the bottom line. Like, they're not weak. They're just hungry, and they're just not eating enough. I think the other side to that coin, to a certain extent as well, is sometimes it's looking at the root cause of the thing. So if you're someone that comfort eats quite a lot, it's looking at why. You know, is it that you don't say no enough at work? Is it that you're not planning your day? Is it that you're not sleeping enough? You know, sometimes like the people focus a lot on the food and the exercise only, but quite often if you're struggling, you know, you've got no energy to exercise because you're knackered, and you know, you're just hungry all the time. Where if you're only sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night because you're, you know, working on a computer all day and then doom scrolling on socials or playing computer games till 2 a.m. you know, upping your sleep to 7 to 8 hours a night, suddenly you'll have loads more energy and you'll be much more inclined to move. And the cravings for the, you know, the ghrelin hormone again, the cravings for fast energy will massively deplete, and you're much less likely to comfort eat. I mean, some people comfort eat for very complex reasons. Some maybe due to trauma or something like that. But I would say for a majority of the people that I do work with that have that challenge, it's lifestyle factors that play into it in a big part. So yeah, so it's starting small, but it's also looking at the bigger. The bigger picture, really.
That's the other stereotypical developer things, yeah. Sort of doing the job during the day and then coding on sort of side projects or scrolling through social media or something, you know, to the early hours. And yeah, you know, definitely did that a lot. Well, still do that if once a lot of the time, but I think, you know, when I was definitely able to do it in my sort of 20s and things, you know, it was definitely easier than doing it now in my sort of mid to. Well, I was going to say, wow, how old am
You're
I
just
now?
like you
Yeah,
don't,
mid to
yeah.
late
Or you just don't
30s,
want to let
somewhere
on
in that
how old
way.
you are. Maybe that's
Yeah,
what this is.
actually, that's like, yeah, what actually am I in now? But yeah, it's definitely harder to do now. And then, you know, it's just obviously sometimes I can feel, like, especially if I don't sleep a lot, probably that with being in sort of, you know, a calorie deficit as well, is then sort of feel a bit of burnout sort of coming in and just sort of like, but then. The weird thing was last week was I'm really sort of feeling quite tired today and a bit low energy, and then went out and did a 12.5K run. It's like, then you feel so much better afterwards from having done it. But it's sometimes it's just that it's almost backwards in terms of the way that yeah, you sort of think. But it's just, yeah, I'm gonna go and do it. So yeah, I'll go do it and then feel better for it afterwards probably.
Yeah, that's it. I think sometimes as well, I mean, it's that old cliche you hear, but sometimes you just start moving. As soon as you just start moving, it suddenly just becomes a lot easier. Sometimes getting moving to, you know, just getting off the sofa to do that movement is the harder part once you actually just start training. I think as well, it's a lot of people that work in IT tend to gravitate towards podcasts. Here we are. Beware experts on podcasts. Oh, hang on a minute. But I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff on like TikTok or podcasts where there's these like, yeah, you know, experts spouting stuff about do this, do that, and all the rest of it, some of which is not backed in science, or they're misquoting the science and that sort of thing. And I think it's just, at the end of the day, it is just keeping it, for most people, it is just keeping it simple. You know, 80% of the time, eat foods that you're preparing yourself. You know, just move more. I mean, if you're into running or you're into cycling or you want to do a marathon, you want to do something mad, then crack on. But if it's just going out for a fast walk for 30 minutes a day at first or less or whatever, and just getting moving, you know, you don't have to overcomplicate it. And I think sometimes that the desire for overcomplication is because people are looking for a fix or a magic pill, and generally, yeah, the magic solution isn't needed. It's just, you know, the answer can be quite simple in terms of the approach. Now, it isn't always that simple though, because if you've had something you know, bad go on in your life, or you're burnt out, or you know, there's something from your childhood that's traumatic, like, it's not easy for everyone to just switch up to go, okay, right, I'm gonna eat better now and walk for half an hour a day, and behold, all my problems are solved. Like, so I'm not saying that it's, you know, everything is easy for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, it's not looking for that overcomplicated magic fix. You know, it's just getting back to basics.
Yeah, we were watching something like recently, maybe a little while ago, where people buying fake weight loss injections or something, and
oh,
that
yeah,
was a counterfeit thing. It's like, it's obviously people have got their own sort of reason and things, but I was just like, it's, yeah, people said looking for this sort of quick win or for some sort of magic thing, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just don't think it's not quite as that straightforward. I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, the weight loss drug thing is quite, I don't know if interesting maybe isn't necessarily the right phrase, because you don't know, it's interesting as you kind of experiment with people's lives, but it's I think that I'm kind of like, I'm not necessarily against it. I think that the thing you've got to do though is you've got to make sure it's back up with behavioral change and nutrition coaching, because the moment you come off that drug, you're just going to go back to where you're at, and you're going to put the weight on massively. I think that there's a culture around the weight loss drug side where people are like, well, it's their fault, they're weak, all the rest of it. But again, we live in a world now where we are bombarded with advertisements for food. Food is made hyper palatable, you know, and it's made to taste even better, so you buy more, and corporates make even more money. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily, there's some evil machine that's working against us, but like, you know, we're in an environment now where, yeah, it's hard to say no a lot of the time. There's a thing again in that ultra processed people book that I mentioned. I think it's in that book, there's a thing where people's jawlines are changing because where processed food is being made much easier to consume, you chew less, so people's muscles are changing in their face because you're chewing less, because it's so much easier to consume the food at pace. So yeah, you know, like, environment and life just work against people. So I think that for some, you know, for some people, a weight loss drug is possibly an answer, but also as well though, in some contexts, is it Ozempic, isn't it, is the main one. I mean, that's a diabetic drug, that's for people that have, you know, diabetes and need help, and I think that drug is maybe being hijacked, but there are others. But it's yeah, it's an interesting one, but it's early days. I think, don't quote me on this, by the way, internet, but there was some stat about, like, is it 25? Go look it up. There's a higher percentage of people that feel really sick and ill on it, and you just feel rough all the time. So it's, you know, if you're, yeah, you know, it's, there's sides to it, isn't there? Like with anything.
Yeah. And I think you said, like, it's going on a really sort of low calorie or really high deficit, like 1,000 calories a day or something. Yes, it's going to have a short term effect, a short term benefit. But then as soon as you put it back up again, you're just going to put weight back on again as well, right? Which is the other problem. So you want to make sure you're doing these things in a sustainable way so that, yeah, you're not just going to, you know, suddenly shoot back up your amount of calories or suddenly put all the weight back on that you'd lost. And assuming you're not, you know, not, it isn't just, I'm going on holiday in 4 weeks, let's, you know, lose a lot of weight now and then put it back on afterwards. For me at least, it's but doing that sustainably over time, you know, did drop it down a bit, then put a bit back on again, and then sort of, you know, course corrected it again. But yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting with the crash dieting bit. If you crash diet, I can't remember what the figure is exactly, but it's something like 95% of people will put all the weight back on them more if they crash diet. And it's sometimes actually, I had a client consult last week for someone to be a potential new client, and I'm pretty sure they didn't sign up with me because they wanted to lose weight really rapidly, and it was a pace that I felt wasn't. Probably wasn't healthy and would certainly would have backfired on them. But I think people, they look for the, and I understand why. Like if you're not confident in how you look, or you just like you don't feel great, I understand why people want to lose it quickly. But if you've put that weight on over 10 years, then try to then lose it all in 6 weeks. Like, do you know what I mean? You've got to pace it. But again, it's sometimes I hasten to add, not you by the way, if anyone's listening, but sometimes I have some clients that say to me, oh, I've only lost a pound this week. And it's like, but if you lost a pound, if you take out holidays and everything, so say you're working with me over a year, and again, clients that are much larger will lose more and safely lose more than a pound a week, but for most people it tends to sit around the pound a week. If you're only losing a pound per week, if you take out holidays and, you know, things like weddings coming up or birthdays or something, so let's say you lose a pound a week for, I don't know, 45 weeks of the year. If you lost 45 pounds over a year, by the end of that year period, you won't even look like the same person, and you're assuming that's an okay amount for you to lose, obviously, but you're going to look massively differently. So you do have to play a slightly longer term game, but not necessarily that long. I think the average client that comes to me, some do need to lose like 10, 12 stone, but I would say on average, most people are probably sitting around that couple of stone, 2, 3 stone kind of mark. So yeah, but so, yeah, slow and steady wins the race for most people.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a whole other conversation, but I see how much of that is influenced by people that, like, you get losing weight sustainably over time. Then you've got people who can see people sort of literally like weight cutting, like want to lose a lot of amount of weight over a short period of time. Maybe, you know, see people with sort of my sort of head, then in my sort of area, I can see people doing a lot of people watching sort of things like mixed martial arts and boxing and things like that. People are like, well, I've got, you know, watching this and watching people cutting lots of weight of a short amount of time, and they go, oh, maybe sort of getting that confused with that's the way to do it, but that's a completely different thing, obviously. So it's but do you want to that being more in the public eye, you know, is maybe skewing perception a little bit as well. I don't
It's
know.
interesting with sports where you have to cut weight to hit a target. I think there's definitely an unhealthy element to that. But again, I guess it depends that, yeah, like you say, it's half a conversation, professional sports people versus amateur hobbyists. I think it is an interesting one. Some people use, like, if they're trying to cut weight fast for stuff like that, they go on to a keto diet. So people that don't know keto, it's like high fat, very low carb. And you can drop weight rapidly, but again, people confuse weight loss with fat loss. So you can drop weight quite fast in the first week or so, but it's because you've flushed all the sort of water and bloat out of your system. So the moment you eat the carbs again, that weight will rocket back. However, if you're looking to cut weight for a sport, I think that's what a lot of people do because it's, you know, it's a quick win.
Yeah, it all depends on what your objectives are. I think it's just be clear about what you want to achieve and the best way of doing that. And then, yeah, getting all your ducks in a row, I guess, to go, this is what I want to do. And, you know, if it is that small thing, I want to go for a short walk every day, or maybe you've got some part of a bigger goal, like I want to go and do a, you know, marathon or a long cycling event, like you said earlier on, then having those sort of bigger goals to sort of aim towards is probably a good way of going about it, rather than just for other folks and completely on the short term.
Yeah, I mean, I always do a few bike events a year. I've stopped doing the really mad ones I used to do. Like I've used to do like 200 mile in a day, stupid things, which actually at the time I loved. But I think what happened was I found for me, I had to make sure my training was on point 95% of the time. There was no wiggle room. Whereas now I do shorter events, more fun events, but it encourages me to keep my fitness. I mean, I have to do it for my job anyway, but it encourages me to keep my fitness at a good, reasonable level. Yeah, a good level. Yeah, I mean, I can go out and do, you know, a 50 mile bike event pretty much at any time of the year because I've kept my fitness up to a good level, but it's not to a mad level. And I think when it comes to exercise, so lifting weights is great because the more muscle mass you have, the faster your metabolism is, so the easier it is to keep weight off. However, if you hate going to the gym but you love doing 5K runs, then run. Because again, much like the diet, the best diet is the one you can stick to. The best exercise is the one that you can stick to. So yes, lifting weights is great for certain things, but if you hate it, then find the thing that you like. Or if you hate all sports and activity, find the thing you hate the least, I guess. But it's but again, it's finding the thing that just works for you.
And everybody's different. Everyone's got their own objectives, their own preferences, and things they like or don't like doing. So, yeah, that's where I guess speaking to someone like yourself who can sort of help point them in that direction and see what their objectives are and put them, I know we've done running plans and also doing some weight loss stuff. So, yeah, obviously, speak to you and we can figure out what we want to do. And yeah, it's good to have that
Yeah.
guidance in that direction. Cool. It's
100%.
been really interesting conversation again, and not that I'm a bit let's all go out and personally want to go and inspire lots of people, but maybe somebody will listen to this and go away and maybe if they want to go and start making some changes if they want to.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
Cool.
so thanks for having me on.
Definitely, it's been brilliant. Where can people find you online if they
So
need
they
to?
can find me Instagram. I'm at Simon Graham. My website is simongpt.co.uk. Unfortunately, Simon GPT, I've had for quite some time before ChatGPT came along, but I assure you, I am a real person. I'm not some AI character doing this. So my logo now has a big PT on it, so people realize that that's a bit I'm emphasizing. But yeah, that's where you can find me on my site and on Insta.
Well, thanks for taking your time, and thanks everyone for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis.
Great. Thank you very much.